Now listen, I'm about to do a ridiculous thing. This white boy's gonna try to honor Martin Luther King. I'm no Vanilla Ice, not as shady as Eminem, but in this chapel, probably crazy to try a sermon slam. Crazy insane, or insane crazy, when I say MLK, you say maybe, because the dude had conviction. Maybe he had a death wish, or maybe he knew what being a theologian of the cross is. See, we all know about King's rhetoric of reconciliation, enraging against the segregation which had marked our nation, but his legacy is more than racial unification. For example, did you know that his first name was Michael, his given name, but his father couldn't let it remain the same? He meant no shame when he gave the boy the German reformer's name. See, MLK's daddy was first and foremost a pastor. He wanted the same for his son, even if it'd mean disaster. So this young black Baptist grew up loving him some Luther, and maybe that's what shaped his gospel future. Just 2 score and 10, that's 50 years ago, with hints of Gettysburg, if you follow, he showed up in Birmingham to protest publicly because of the lynchings and what he called the ominous cloud of inferiority. Now, if you haven't read his letter from a Birmingham jail, King calls out a group of folk who are beyond the pale. It's not those robed in the Ku Klux Klanners, but rather his fellow pastors and their over-pious manners. It was white, moderate clergy and their genteel liturgy as they chanted, "Wait, be patient, things will work out surely." Oh, they knew what he proposed was no mere upset apple cart. Racial integration threatened to tear the country apart. For King, though, the most important issue was justice. He found support in Tillich, Augustine, and Aquinas. See, MLK was a theologian, a PhD in systematics. He understood these pastors and their cowardly tactics, understood that we were all a bunch of glory story addicts. Save yourself. Don't cause a stir. In the face of controversy, always demur. No, in his letter, Martin Luther Jr. took his stand with the prophets and said that the world needs a few extremists. Extremists for love, like Jesus, Luther, Paul, and Amos. They all let their words roll down with justice. Then from the jail, when he was free, he set out to go to Washington, D.C. That's where he became the king of oratory. Again, justice rolled down like rivers, and righteousness like an ever-rolling stream when he declared to the listening world, "I have a dream." Today, his dream is still working itself out. But have no doubt, we've made progress, without a doubt. 50 years ago, King said, "I have a dream that one day we will all sit together at the table of brotherhood. Here at this altar, black and white share the body and the blood." 50 years ago, King said, "One day I have a dream that little black boys and little black girls and little white boys and little white girls will join hands as sisters and brothers. My first graders' friends are white, black, Jew, Hindu, and many others. Yesterday, I give thanks for racial reintegration, but now I'd like to talk about a whole other kind of segregation. It's how flippantly we talk about denomination, even boasting of our great differentiation, rather than having a celebration of our epistle's rhetoric of reconciliation. See, this isn't a 21st century surprise. Rather, it was part of the first century Corinthian demise. One said, "I follow Paul." Another, "I follow Apollos." And still yet another said, "I follow Cephas." But Paul said, "I follow Christ." What does this mean, though? Is Christ divided so that the church has to be so many-sided? Was it Paul who for your sins was crucified? Was it in Luther's baptismal waters that you died? No, in Christ, you were raised to new life and justified, sanctified, but don't forget, also unified. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm no unionist, syncretist, Christ-denying universalist, but my text this morning is sort of against the Christian segregationist. In today's selected pericope, there's only one church, not many. Whether in Corinth or Jerusalem, Fort Wayne or St. Louis, there's only one Lord, the one we call Christ Jesus. It's from Christ and his Father that we have all received grace. Day by day, every sin he eliminates. And one day soon, we will see Christ face to face. What I hear in all this is that we've received a gift. There's plenty to go around, no reason for a rift. So I have a dream and a prayer today that we may all be one. Even as we celebrate our justification, give thanks for our sanctification, let us work for the day when there will be no division. In the name of the Father, the Spirit, the Son. Amen.